Chapter 6. Gerald stood silently, just staring at the 7-year-old. The little boy, for his part, simply clutched the teddy and continued to look down or away. Gerald noticed that he seemed afraid. Finally, after a minute of awkward silence, he spoke to the carpenter who stood silently beside them. I don't understand. This is me. I don't get it. Is this real? Am I dreaming? What's happening here? The carpenter smiled and put his hand on Gerald's shoulder.
Gerald, there are a lot of things you don't understand.
I know that, Gerald interrupted, but this is really strange. Tell me, what's going on here? Who is this? Why did he send me text messages?
The carpenter sighed. Okay, Gerald, you've got a right to know. What is happening to you is real. It is very real, but not in the way you think. You came to the house at 203 Cambridge Street. It was your home. It is a burned-out, run-down, abandoned house. You walked into the kitchen, the living room, the bathroom, and the bedrooms. All of that is real physically. It changed only moments ago. When I came into this room with you, we entered your real home.
Gerald looked at him puzzled.
Your real home, Gerald, is your heart. Just like your house on 203 Cambridge is burned out and in ruins, so is your heart. Your house on Cambridge Street is just a picture of your heart, your home.
Gerald stared at the carpenter, trying to grasp what he was hearing.
So, I'm in some kind of a trance or altered state of mind?
The carpenter laughed.
No, not some kind of drug-induced consciousness. I have simply pulled back the veil so you get to see the real world. You have a chance to see what is really going on in your life. You've been given a great opportunity.
This is crazy, Gerald exclaimed. I'm getting out of here. This is too strange. I'll go pick up Darcy and we're gone.
You can go, Gerald, the carpenter replied. But if you do, then you will miss out on what the text messages were all about and your chance for a change.
Gerald stopped at the end of the hall. A part of him wanted to run, to get far away from Pikesville and this carpenter. Another part of him, though, was clinging with all its might to stay, to get answers. It was that part that won out. Gerald walked back to his old bedroom.
I'll stay a while. So you're telling me that what you're showing me more than just the burn-out, run-down condition of my old house, you're showing me the condition of my heart?
That's weird. But I'll go along with it. That doesn't tell me why he is here or how he contacted me.
As Gerald said that, he pointed down to the little boy, still cowering in the closet. The carpenter reached out to the boy, and for the first time, the boy seemed to relax. He clutched the bear tightly to his chest. The carpenter picked him up and held him. The boy put his head on the carpenter's shoulder. The carpenter just held the boy and patted his back. There was a minute or two of silence before he spoke.
Gerald just waited.
Gerald, he finally began, this is the hardest part. I want you to understand this because a lot of people don't. If you choose to leave after I tell you this, then I won't try to stop you.
Gerald listened intently.
When people get hurt in this life, they tend to do whatever they can to make sure they don't get hurt again. Some people try to deaden the pain by doing things to numb it and make it go away. Others, when something happens, put up a wall and vow never to step out from behind it. They do it to protect themselves. Unfortunately, though, they really put themselves in prison.
Many times they don't even know it. They continue through life maturing and growing in many ways, yet there is a part of them that remains stuck behind the wall. I know that in a lot of people, there's a little boy or a little girl who has been hurt and is trying desperately to come out. Gerald nodded as he took it in. When you were 7 years old and your mom died, you felt some powerful emotions. You loved her and she loved you. Your love for her was pure. It was given without regard for what might happen. She loved you that way, too. It was and is beautiful, unconditional. She died, though. When she did, you decided you would never love like that again.